The Home Show with Sinead Ryan on News Talk.
Hello, and you're very welcome along to the Home Show podcast. I'm your host, Sinead Ryan. Coming up this week, would you fancy retiring to a Disney-themed housing estate? We take a look at homes that are definitely not Mickey Mouse. The PTSB Ideal Homes exhibition returns to the RDS next weekend, and we're going to speak with some designers sharing their wares at that. Would you pay €9,500 for a chair? Well, we'll take a seat and examine some star attractions at the Art Evolve show, and Home Show regular Jennifer Sheehan on furniture for fidgeters. If you'd like to get involved in the podcast, we're always here throughout the week, and you can email us at thehomeshow@newstalk.com. You'll find us on social media. I'm on Twitter and on Instagram at Sinead Ryan, and we do love to hear from all of our listeners there. Now, I know we're all kind of reeling a bit from the so-called Liberation Day announced during the week. Trump's tariffs seem to be no more than like a crude back of the envelope type calculation. And I wonder how many of his supporters realise that tariffs will increase the price of everything for them. Can a US recession be far away? And I know that's on a lot of people's minds, because a US recession pretty much means a world recession. Anyhow, perhaps it will be an opportunity, I'm trying to find a silver lining, for brilliant US academics, scientists, medics to check out what life might be like on the other side of the pond, and I'm sure they will all be very welcome. But it's a political free zone today. There is no bad news on the Home Show, and as ever, you are very welcome along. Now, when we retire, we think of slowing down, living maybe a bit more peacefully, perhaps getting a nice bungalow with a garden. But instead, you can now see out your retirement years living in a Disneyland housing estate. The 2,000 homes at Cotino start at $2.5 million. There are streets for the over 55s, and decor includes Mickey Mouse wallpaper and Pluto bowls. Joining me now to tell me more is Daily Mail columnist Jan Moir, who has visited. Jan, you're very welcome to the Home Show. Tell us about the houses you saw.
Well, I went out to Cotino, which is situated in the Coachella Valley, in a town called Rancho Mirage, which is very near Palm Springs. And they've just finished building the first six show houses on this sort of massive 600-acre estate. So I went to see all the show houses with lots of other local people. I mean, some who were serious buyers, some who were just having a big nosy like me. And they're very, I mean, it's very alluring. There were a couple of two-story houses. Three of them were just sort of single-story. And they're built in that very, almost like a kind of mid-century way. There are lots of huge glass doors and windows. There's lots of outside space. There's lots of entertaining space. It's just like a way where you can live out your retirement in this sort of gorgeous, sunny environment, having barbecues and cocktails.
Now, it sounds beautiful, and you can't kind of fault the amenities. I've heard jacuzzis, pools, outdoor dining areas. How is this village designed? Is it very Disney-fied?
No. I mean, Disney originally, they have done this before in a slightly different way. In Florida, they built a whole town called Celebration, which was very Disney-fied. They had a lot of Disney entertainments there. It was just outside the sort of Disneyland in Orlando. And so people wanted, they wanted that full-on Disney experience. In Cotino, which is different, it's much more subtle. I mean, they are building a huge clubhouse, which is built on the clubhouse used in The Incredibles, Incredibles 2, the Pixar film.
Yes.
So that will be like the hub of the community. And they're also building a huge fake lagoon, I mean, in the middle of the desert. It's very ambitious and a bit ridiculous. But there's not going to be, I mean, Mickey Mouse isn't going to be walking down the high street, you know, handing out copies of the Disney Daily Times or whatever. I mean, Cotino say there will be entertainments, and there will be Disney Imagineers, which is what they call, who they call their creatives, and they'll be having craft sessions and things in the clubhouse. But the Disney element is going to be quite pared down.
But the interiors aren't subtle. There are some options there for Disney,
yes,
wallpaper.
There are. You can have Mickey Mouse or Peter Pan wallpaper in children's bedrooms and things. There's some Mickey Mouse carpets you can choose. But on the whole, to be honest with you, it's very greige, very tasteful. You don't have to have that cartoon element if you don't want it.
How have the locals reacted to the site? I know it's only under construction now, but they're going to see this going up. And I suppose for a lot of them, Disneyland is the centre of that area and their existence. But do you think it'll be welcomed?
I think there are mixed feelings locally. I mean, Rancho Mirage is quite, I mean, it's hard for us to get a sort of grasp of what kind of place it is. As I said, it's in the Coachella Valley, and there are over 120 golf courses in that valley, in a 50-mile valley, which gives you some idea of the kind of people who go there and who retire there. I mean, there are a lot of environmental issues about, you know, building another 2,000 houses in a desert. I mean, you are in the desert, and people have been complaining about the water table. It's going to take too much water. Mm. There's already been complaints about construction traffic. But, you know, this is not, I mean, it is essentially a country club. And there are at least another 7 country clubs in the near area. So it's been met with a mixed reception. I would have thought they would be much more against it than they are, to be honest with you. But whatever, you know, there have been complaints, there have been letters in the local newspapers. But whatever people have done, Disney are going straight ahead and building it.
Do you think that there's enough Disney fans out there to buy 2,000 of these homes? Or could you live there comfortably if you didn't want anything to do with Disney?
Yes, you could. Honestly, you really could. You could just kind of shut yourself away. I mean, like all of the 6 homes have, like, you can't really see much of them from the street because they all have kind of inner courtyards, if you know what I mean. Mm. That's the way they've been built. So because there's not enough space for people to have huge gardens or whatever. So they've all got their courtyards with their jacuzzis and their outside spaces or whatever. So you could just shut your front door and you could live in there quite happily with no Mickey Mouse wallpaper or anything like that. But okay, if you wanted to join in, you could.
Yeah. Now, I know that they put a slap on letting the houses out as Airbnb rentals to avoid the constant roll-in, roll-out of people. So if you buy it, you're stuck with it.
You can rent it out for a minimum of 30 days. And in fact, for some people, I imagine that might still be a good investment because, you know, demand for, you know, it's a huge holiday area. I mean, for example, when I was there, the supermarkets were all full of Canadians, you know, of snowbirds who come down. They've had enough of that terrible winter up there in Canada. And, you know, early spring and before the sort of terrible heat of the summer, I mean, they're very popular months. So if you wanted to come down for a month, you know, I'm sure that would be popular in the rental market. Mm. But you know, there's no shortage of people who want these homes. You know, they've sold some already, even though there aren't that many of them finished. The first families are moving in at the end of this month. And interestingly, they are marketing it as an all-year-round destination. I mean, God knows who'd want to live there in the summer. It's absolutely ferocious.
It is.
I mean, last year,
a burning last year, heat. And I mean, I'm just, I'm looking at this fake lake, this lagoon, which is bigger than 11 Olympic swimming pools. And that's, you have to imagine, that's just going to evaporate.
Well, that's what our kind of bubble up like blue soup. But the technology used is made by a company called Crystal Lagoons, and they have made the same kind of things in Dubai, like big lakes and sort of water park features. And it is kept cool by, I don't understand it, some kind of oscillation process. So it's not going to evaporate, funnily enough. Mm. Somehow they are going to be able to keep it cool. And of course, this is the other strange thing. It's not going, you're going to pay all this money. So you pay your money for your house, then you have to pay another $20,000 to join the country club element, and that's just your introductory fee, and you'll have fees every year on top of that. So you do all that, but local people can join too. So, I mean, it's very interesting. I don't know how it's going to work, but seemingly it's going to work.
And the Americans do love, I mean, certainly you see it around Florida a lot and maybe in California, these retirement villages, which are town, like for coming from Ireland, they'd be the size of towns, not so much
exactly.
Villages. And it's like this gated, closed in, almost, I'd say, artificial way of life. So why not Disney?
Why not Disney? Exactly. And they have, I mean, Americans almost, you know, going to Disneyland or Disney World is almost like a constitutional right in America. And they have a big, you know, and Disney have this marvelous reputation there. It's a gold standard in service. And so people, you know, they love the way they got treated at Disney World and Disneyland. And they want to kind of replicate that in the, you know, in a community like this. And so, I mean, yes, I mean, this, you know, they love these gated communities. Mm. I don't know if it's just kind of, do you think it's part of the pioneering spirit or something when they were kind of first moving out in America and living behind stockades? I don't know, but it certainly makes them feel safe.
Oh,
and
nice.
They're almost like in their own little gated house inside a gated community.
And now you can do it with Mickey Mouse in tow. Right. Listen, Jan Moore.
Exactly.
Of the Daily Mail. Thank you for visiting the retirement village at Disney in Catino in California and telling us all about it. Now, the PTSB Ideal Home Show returns to the RDS next weekend, as it does every year, featuring a huge list of events and speakers. I have two of the exhibitors in studio with me now. I'm delighted to welcome them both here. Monica Daly will be at the Phone Watch Ask an Expert Hub across the weekend, offering free advice and consultations. And Patricia Wakely will be at the DFS Interiors Theatre on the Sunday, creating cohesive space inside and outside your home. You're both very welcome to the home show. Is this not your first time round for either of you?
No, second actually,
no.
This time.
Yeah.
First was with Bobby. So we had a down to business conversation. And
of course,
interior designer. So that was great. So it's lovely to be back. Thank you for having us.
Yeah. And listen, it's always such a big event every year. We always try and cover it, but there's so many exhibitors that we can only have a couple in every year into the show to talk about it because hundreds and hundreds of people visit it and it's always a big event. So let's chat a bit about you guys and what you're actually going to be doing. Trish, you started in graphic design and then, as they say, pivoted. So tell me what you'll be doing next weekend at the show.
So next weekend, I'm on the Fleetwood stand and there are four sections on the stand this year, two of which I've helped to design. I'm on the Trendsetters section, which is a competition that was run this year for designers who were asked to partake. So you come up with a colour and an idea of what kind of colour you would like to put forward. It's voted on by the public in store and also online. And I was the lucky winner this year.
What colour?
It's actually called Lilting Light, which is quite hard to say at times.
Okay.
Lilting Light. It's a beautiful colour, I think. I actually brought a little bit of a swatch of it. It's a very small
swatch.
Oh,
God, you're going to ask me to describe it.
To
now.
Describe
Let's have a look.
Because
okay.
It is a radio show, so I thought
this
it was
this is, what would I call this colour? I'm going to say it's a pinky grey.
It's quite close. it's more of a mauvey background.
Okay.
But when you see it in certain lights, it's very neutral. Mm. So it works quite well. And my big thing is I love neutrals. But I love neutrals that have a little bit of personality to them.
Yeah.
So at least when you have them, you know, they
rather than the flat grey or the flat white.
I mean, we're grey enough with our climate anyway.
No.
So a little bit of colour in that neutrality really, really works for me. So it has a lovely mauvey background.
Brilliant. Okay. Now, you're the founder of Plush Interiors. So you're usually giving advice and consultations and all of that. So is that the kind of thing? What kind of things do you think will come up on the stand?
Yes. Well, from years before before, we've always met with lots of people with lots of different, considerations, questions, advice that they're looking for on their interiors. Now, it could be anything from exteriors to a very small toilet under the stairs. It could be anything.
Mm.
And so it's really good that we can meet them where they're at. And that's really the kind of person I like to deal with, where we're kind of working with them and their personality, because people can come in oftentimes and I feel like they can say, oh, I like this Scandi kind of interior. Mm. That's a great indicator of what they're after. But I think then to kind of personalise it for them, that goes to the next level.
And do you find that when people come up to you then they've taken photographs or they're showing you designs?
Yes, a lot of the time. And sometimes it can be a little bit funny because they might show you like a beachfront property in Malibu from Pinterest and you're kind of going, oh my God.
We're not doing that in Clonsilla, sorry.
No. Yeah, and I'm okay on a farm in rural Ireland, so this doesn't work.
Okay.
But it's a great idea of what they like. And then so you delve into it. I think, like yourself, Monica, you'd really get to know a person.
The personality, even by the raring lady.
Yeah. And Monica, then when it comes to your expertise and what you'll be talking about, what do you think this year that people will be looking for? What aesthetic, what design, what trends, you know, are popular?
Yes. So it depends on the personality of the client that comes to ask the expert hub, but it varies. Like there, a lot of visitors come from as far as Kerry, Donegal. Some are international. They've come to Ireland. They want to create a beautiful space, but have a little bit of home as well. So the trends really vary. It depends on the background as well and what they're looking to do and achieve. So latest trends, colours, colour palettes, soft pastels, warm colours, a lot of the clay, kind of terracotta, rustic finishes, ceramic ware, and natural woods and wood veneers and the likes of those.
So that's a real cosy core vibe, isn't it? I mean, that whole kind of natural wood, wools, neutrals, that it's kind of timeless then. Do you think that people have lost the kind of the bravery around pattern and colour pops, or are they still incorporating
it? Still there, yeah. Still incorporate it. And it's nice to actually have the balance if you have a little bit of both. So if you're investing in maybe some bespoke cabinetry, for example, you might go kind of neutral with that, but then you can bring in pops of colour through the paint. So paint is amazing. Myself and Patricia know, working with Fleetwood, they have such a wide variety and all of the paint brands offer, there's a colour for everybody. So it's really about finding out, investigating what the individual needs. It's a short space of time on the Ask the Expert Hub. It's super busy.
Yeah,
I would say for anyone coming in the morning to book in with Bernie on the desk, and she'll look after you.
But and you'll get your slot.
You'll get your slot. Yeah.
And don't be afraid to bring a picture or tell people what it is that you want to get.
It's really important, actually, if they can bring as much information as they can. Even basic measurements, they don't have to have a professional floor plan. Just dimensions, photograph, use their phone, take a video. And maybe, as we said, Pinterest or any other images they might have seen in a magazine.
You're put on the spot, Patricia, aren't you there?
Like, yeah.
You have to come up with instant solutions for people, or have you tried this, or what about that?
I mean, there's a lovely balance that you have to kind of achieve. So it is their castle, their home is their castle. It's they that live in it. And you want to know what's the purpose of the space.
Mm.
How do you want it to feel? What kind of a person are you to sit in it? But also, how does that transfer to other people who visit? And so it's really a personalised thing. And I don't think sometimes the people think it all the way through to that. So there are lots of personal questions that you end up asking.
Yeah.
But then there's a reason behind that.
Because I wonder, is there are there lots of people, a bit like me, who wouldn't be in this space and just want to do up a room or change something in their house, and they are looking at Pinterest and they are looking at Instagram and say, oh, I'd love that vibe, I'd love that. But actually, it mightn't suit
the
home, the space, or as you say, their personality, because how will you use it? When will you be there?
Yeah, one of the biggest considerations for me is lighting. So what your aspect is and how that is affected, especially in Irish light.
Mm.
Because even if you're beautifully south or southwest facing, you might have that lovely light, but it's still Ireland.
We don't have Meghan Markle's Californian sunshine streaming through the windows. Okay, and we have to remind people of that. Give them the bad news. Give them the hard
news.
Story. story. All right. So what are you most looking forward to then, Monica, next weekend?
Yes. Well, there's a great buzz in the Ideal Homes over
always.
The weekend. Yeah, absolutely. The energy is fantastic. And meeting with new clients and visitors that are coming and being able to help them and support them through their process of refurbishing their home or redecorating.
All right, making the dreams come true. All right. Well, listen, Monica Daly will be at the Phone Watch Ask an Expert Hub and Patricia Wakely will be at the DFS Interiors Theatre on the Sunday. And the PTSB Ideal Home Show returns to the RDS Simmons Court. That's the big barn out there in Ballsbridge from next weekend. That's April 11th to the 13th. And you can find tickets on idealhome.ie. Ladies, thank you very much for joining us on The Home Show. Now, Art Evolve is running this weekend and we'll see members of the Contemporary Art Gallery Association join forces with other established galleries to bring the best in Irish and international art under one roof. There are 70 galleries and artists, and it also features work by my next guest, award-winning Limerick architect and furniture designer Edwin James Hickey, who's 9,500 euro chair made with historic Irish slate will be among the star attractions. Edwin, you're very welcome to the Home Show studio.
Thank you for having me.
Now, when I first spotted this story in the paper, I thought it was a bit of a misprint. Now, don't get me wrong, this is a stunningly beautiful and I expect immensely heavy piece.
Yeah.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah. Well, just to give you a bit of background on the chair itself, I was actually working on a project down in Valentia Island as part of the Wild Atlantic Way for Kerry County Council, and Tom De Puir Architects had won a proposal to redevelop the old watchtower there and renovate it. And they were actually using stone from the quarry on the island, and that actually just blew my mind because I didn't know there was actually a quarry on the island. So yeah. I went up and visited and I met the quarry owner, who's this amazing geologist, Aidan Ford. And I actually had already a series of designs of chairs that I was prototyping, and I pitched them to him and he quite liked them. So we kind of started this collaboration. And through the process of the collaboration of learning how to work with the stone and everything, I found out about the rich history of the quarry itself. So it supplied stone to the Paris Opera House, Westminster Abbey. It has such a rich architectural history, and it was opened in 1816. So at one point, 450 men worked in the quarry. And it's when you think of a quarry, you think of an open air, but these are actually chambers that you go down into. So it's amazing space.
Wow, like a tunnel complex.
Yeah, exactly. And the light just comes down through the chamber. And and the stone itself is just amazing. It's it's 380 million years old and has this old plant life, and it's got this hue, kind of purple hue colour to it because of the oxidisation of the river Rockbread and where it was formed.
Yeah.
And it's actually five times stronger than marble. So it's just
really?
Got all these amazing properties, yeah.
Okay, well, that kind of does away with one of my worries, which is, could you break it if you sat in it?
No.
I'm going to direct people to your website while we're chatting.
Okay.
So if they're listening at home, they can look it up, and it's edwinjames.ie, Edwin with a Y.
Yeah.
And you can see the chair that I'm talking about. Now, that slate that you use in it. Now, you've obviously, I don't know, how have you treated that? Because it's perfectly smooth.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful colour.
Yeah.
Now, you're kind of intimating it comes out of the ground like that, but it couldn't.
It kind of, so they use these Fantini machines. They're these massive chainsaws that are the size of this, twice the size of a room or a small building. And they literally cut blocks out of, and then they cut them down. There's a series of process with wire ropes, diamond wire ropes, and then you get to the kind of slab format. So they're potentially producing a slab stone, roofing, old traditional uses. But because the stone is a heritage, heritage stone and there's only a limited amount of it, I feel like it is a very beautiful stone that we should actually really treat well and really promote here in Ireland.
Do you get nervous working with a material that, like, if you screw it up?
Yeah.
It can't really be used for, maybe it can be used for something else, but I suppose like any sculptor, like you don't want to mess it up.
Yeah, absolutely. No. And the guys that I must mention, like the guys in the quarry, they've been there working there. Some of the guys have been working there for over 20 years. So when I went there, I've just been learning from them, like how to work with the stone. And they're just incredible guys. Gintis and Remy, some of the guys there are just like amazing craftsmen, artisan. Stonemasons themselves. So, like, they know what they're doing, really. So I kind of leave it in their capable hands, you know?
Yeah, and you work with what they produce.
Yeah.
Now, on your website, you have similar pieces. So this is right in your kind of design sphere, this chair.
Yeah.
And I noticed that you had a standing desk.
Yeah.
Which is a fascinating piece.
Yeah.
And it comes, like, nearly with... it's a standing stool, if you like, and you're at the desk.
Yeah.
And in that very angular form, brutalism nearly in art. And tell us how you conceive pieces like that.
Yeah, well, for that, it was just about making a piece that was just made from one piece of steel. So I don't really weld stuff. I just like things that are just pure and bent, like so, but have a really slick aesthetic. So that was just the seat part was the standing standing chair, really. And then the seat was designed to kind of to match that in aesthetics. It's just one piece of like 3 mil steel and it's folded in three places. So not... through its execution, it isn't complex, but in its aesthetics, is quite slick and beautiful. Yeah, so that's kind of my kind of design philosophy: not to make things overly complex, but trying to have them down to strip them down to minimal.
Yeah, and it strikes me that your aim is to let the material shine, rather than the design.
Yeah. And my next collection that I should mention actually is I found out through working at the quarry, a lot of the waste from, say, the chambers inside, they actually dump it outside the quarry. So there's like mountains of this, beautiful to me and to everyone that visits. It's just this, I'd love that in my garden kind of piece, you know?
Yeah.
There's just mountains of it. So the quarry owner gave me a task, like come up with a designs to reuse it, repurpose, you know it. So I've actually come up with a series of coffee tables, desks and benches, repurposing that beautiful rock into what I just said there.
And it's so important nowadays in sustainability to have pieces that are both long-lasting, because these are heirloom statement pieces, no doubt about it, but that use our natural resources. I mean, you know, none of us like to think that these are finite resources, but of course they've been laid down over millennia.
Yeah.
So to kind of discard them would just be an anachronism, really.
Absolutely.
So using it for something like this that creates a different type of beauty, is that important to you?
Oh, absolutely. That's what I'm... like, that's where my architecture, where I'm passionate about, like how I approached the quarry itself was because in architecture, we're kind of moving away from the use of concrete and materials like that because of the high pollution that they cause. And going back to what we used to build with, which was stone, and those buildings last thousands of years. So that's what I'm interested in. That's what that's why I'm pursuing and working with stone at the moment. Yeah.
So you'll be at the expo in the RDS this weekend. You're there. So Art Evolve is running now.
Yeah.
What else are you hoping to see there? Is it nice to meet up with other artists and designers?
Yeah, absolutely. They're some of the best in the country. You're going to be exhibiting at this fair. It's going to be an incredible array of talent and a lot of fine art there as well, and abstract art. So I'm delighted to see my chair with a backdrop of so many cool pieces, you know.
What weight is the chair?
The chair is 210 kg. So you set it up and you set it up and you leave it for once. But this chair isn't just like a normal piece of chair. It's a piece of art. It's sculptural, you know.
Of course it is.
With this chair, you're buying a piece of Irish her heritage. I see it as like a heritage piece.
Yeah, indeed it is. Indeed it is. All right. Well, if you want to go along to Art Evolve and see Edwin's chair and indeed the 70 other exhibitors, it is on this weekend in the RDS. And for booking information, check out www.artevolve.ie. Whether you are one of those calm, zen people who, you know, meditate serenely and, you know, or if you're one of those people who's always on the go, you can't stop fidgeting and you're very restless. Well, home show regular Jennifer Sheehan joins me now, having scoured the shops for furniture which might just suit you. You're very welcome.
Can you meditate, Sinead? Are you a meditator?
No, I can't do it. Never been able to.
I as soon as somebody starts telling me to focus on my breathing, I panic. And my breathing, which was going fine up until that point, just becomes erratic. And
I tried yoga as well and it didn't work for me because it was just, there was nothing, I just didn't feel I was doing anything. And I think that's probably why I am somebody who needs it.
Yeah, potentially. Yeah.
But you're a fan of the fidgeter.
Well, I'm on the opposite end. Now, I am a fidgeter, so I'm a fan of the fidgeter. But really, what we're looking at here for this type of furniture is not only good for fidgeters, it's good for everyone, because we all know that sitting for long periods of time is now worse than smoking, it's worse than everything. And so incorporating some movement into your day is really important. This is, I have a new term.
Oh,
for
right.
anyone who hasn't heard this, this is called NEAT. So non-exercise thermogenic activity. No, non-exercise activity thermogenesis. Because if it was thermogenic activity, it wouldn't be such a...
Well, that's our word for the day then. Tell me what it means.
So it means all the calories, all the energy that you are burning throughout the day that is not a result of you going to the gym and doing concerted exercise. So you have the amount of energy that you burn just sitting there or lying there or whatever it might be. Then you have, you know, a couple of hundred calories may be burned by going to a spin class or a weights class or whatever it might be. Everything in the middle of that is your NEAT.
So that's going, pottering
activity.
Around and going up and down the stairs and walking to the bus.
Okay. Exactly. You're hoovering, whatever it might be. So it's really, it's a great way to up your energy burn and to add a little stability exercises, some muscle incorporation into your day.
Okay, so you've been looking at furniture that helps us with that goal.
Yes. Okay. And what I will say is in the past, some of this furniture has been particularly ugly, but I've definitely seen a rise in a more aesthetically pleasing range of this type of furniture at some of the interior design shows over the past year. So let's go. So the first one we have is a standing desk. We've all heard of a standing desk. Really, really helpful to, you know, maintain your balance, your stability. You're standing all day. It's much better than sitting all day. They can be expensive, but there was a proliferation, thank you, of them during lockdown. Loads of Irish companies, woodworking companies made them. So they're traditionally quite expensive. There's a great one in IKEA,
my
favourite places. This is adjustable. It's electric. It's only €161. And it's a lovely, very simple, minimalistic looking white standing desk that raises up and down.
Okay. So that would be cheap enough that you could even just try it out and see how you get on with it.
Exactly.
Or use it occasionally.
Yeah. Yeah. See if you like it.
Okay.
161. I mean, where'd you be going? There's a lovely one. Higgins Joinery have a really, really lovely wood, natural looking wood one. That's 27995. And then, of course, if you have a desk already that you don't want to get rid of, you can buy desk risers that sit on top of your existing desk and that will lift it up to standing height. There was gorgeous ones. Flying Elephant, an Irish company, used to have lovely ones. They made them during lockdown, but they've pivoted their business model. But I had a search and there's a few on adverts.ie. So the lucky next few listeners can go and snap those up. They're
brilliant.
Really nice.
Now, I do know somebody who incorporates a standing desk with a treadmill.
This is a really great way to up
this
your
is
exercise.
A really dangerous way
this
to try and go about your day, in my opinion. But active chairs are now a thing.
Well,
so
you can
what are
also
they?
Incorporate a treadmill as well.
Yeah.
Now, treadmills are expensive, but what you can buy now is walking pads. So these are brilliant. They're much, much smaller. They're much more affordable. They don't have the big rigmarole around them. They're literally just flat. And you could shove them under your couch at the end of the day when you're finished, for example, and put them away out of sight.
And how do they work then?
This could turn your desk into the treadmill. So this is just basically the flat part of a treadmill.
only, and in much more kind of, you know, a neater format.
Does
and
it move?
It moves.
Right.
So you walk away and off you go. Yeah. Genius. So these are, I found one. I actually was recommended one by a colleague of mine who has one. Shout out to you, Orla. It's the Treadmill C1. It's available at homefitnesscode.com and it's €189.
Oh, right. Okay. So not there you have expensive.
So there you have your treadmill desk.
Okay. Now, one thing I've never got on board with, and I like, to me, it's a kind of a toy, and I'm disaster on it because I really, my balance isn't very good, are those balance boards. You know, the ones with
those,
the ball underneath, and you're like jiggling around on the top. Kids can balance on them, no problem.
Yeah. I think they're great. I think they're great. They're really good for your stability. I actually do have one at home because I broke my ankle a few years ago. You'll remember this. Came in here on crutches one day, and they're brilliant for rehabilitation and, you know, increasing your stability, getting those stabilizing muscles engaged.
Yeah, they're supposed to be good for the joints, the hip flexors and the ankle joints, you know, to move around on them.
And it's another option. If you didn't want to just have the treadmill desk, you could stand on your balance board underneath. So there's a fabulous company, another Irish company called Huku, H-U-K-U. They have a few different ones. They have this brilliant one I love. It's called the Ulu Lore balance board, and it's €140. But it has this, a little, remember the game you'd play where you would try to get a ball bearing into a hole and you'd work it through a maze and you'd have to tilt it and rock it and get it in. So they've incorporated this kind of idea in their balance board. So you could, of course, stand at it at your desk when you're working away, or you could play the game when you're a bit bored.
Oh, right.
That's another great way of doing things. So I love those. I think they're really, really
nice.
That
sounds like a bit of fun.
Yeah.
£140 quid from Huku. Excellent. Yeah. Okay, that's brilliant. Right. It's one of those things that I can absolutely see the benefit of it, because, you know, even when you do Pilates, you're kind of, all your muscles have to act together and work in concert.
Yeah.
And that's really what you want, a kind of a full body workout.
Yeah, you want to engage your stability muscles, because if you're just standing, you can slump into a bad posture standing as well. You know, your pelvis can tilt forward and your shoulders can droop a little bit. But if you're active in some way, if you're walking on that walking pad or you're standing on that balance board, it activates your muscles so that naturally enhances your posture.
Yeah, and I suppose it just takes a bit of practice maybe to get used to it.
Exactly. Okay.
Now, regular chairs.
Okay, we're back to sitting. If this is too much and you've been standing all day, you've very long hours, you might need to sit down at some stage. So we'll allow it with active sitting chairs. So there's a few different types. I actually quite like the kneeling chairs. So you can get, there's a few different things you can get. You can get balance stools or wobble stools. We have them in my office and they're not for me. Somebody fell off them one day and then somebody else fell off one another day and they're just not for me. I like the kneeling chairs. I think they're nice. Now, there's a bit of dispute, as I understand it, as to whether these are genuinely great for your posture. So what I'd say is maybe try them, see if you like it, see if it feels good, if you feel good at the end of the day.
Yeah, the look of them is like a, you know, the prie-dieu.
Yeah.
Like a prayer thing that you sit and you're kind of, you're kneeling on a cushion. Your bum is against another cushion, but are you tipped forward?
You're kind of tilted forward. Yeah, you are. Yeah.
So that might be great for the back.
I think if you have existing lower back issues, you should think about whether this would work for you. And again, try it.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So the one you found.
Well, this is the OG and I love them. Now, it's 297, so it's a little spicy, but it also has a little rocker at the bottom, so you can kind of rock yourself back and forth, which again is great for engaging muscles and increasing or enhancing your posture. So the company is Varior, V-A-R-E-R, and this is called the Variable Kneeling Chair. It's a nice wood colour. It's got some lovely fabric colours. There's no back to it, so it's very, very neat and it can slide in under your desk at the end of the day.
So I like a rocking chair facing the other way.
Yeah.
Okay, brilliant. Now, the other thing, of course, that has been around for a long time, and certainly anybody who has been pregnant will at one stage have been recommended one of these. And these are the big bouncy balls.
Big bouncy balls.
The stability balls.
That's it.
Now, again, I love these, by the way, because they're brilliant for the back, not by sitting on, but by rolling over the back. So you sit in front of it and you roll back over it. It's absolutely magic. It does wonders for me. But to sit on it, like, during the day, isn't a beanbag, folks, now. This is just a hard rubber ball, yeah?
So these bouncy are those big bouncy rubber balls, and they're traditionally, you're right, not very good looking, shiny. They look like they belong in a gym. There has been a proliferation, right, first time this time, of these much more aesthetically pleasing bouncy balls. So the one I saw, Sova Swiss balls, they're called. They're €210, but they are covered in a lovely kind of wool matte fabric.
And they're really nice.
Now, one I have seen, and I'm not going to give an example because I am against these. I don't like them, is a chair that has the seat removed from it and replaced with one of these bouncy balls. I've seen them in offices and I'm not for them. I'm sorry. I just don't like them. I'm against them.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And then finally, just before we finish, you've come in, like you were doing very well
I'm
there,
throwing
Jenny.
You a curveball
you're doing
here.
Very well. And everything was, yeah. I can see that.
Yeah.
You're going to go off reservation now with your final suggestion.
I'm coming in from left field. Now, could we call this furniture, right? Because this is where I was wondering, it's on the line. These are the hand grips that you can install on your wall to turn it into a climbing wall. So everything we've spoken about so far has really been something that you could do passively, you know, while you're working, while you're watching TV even. You could be walking on your treadmill, standing on your balance board, whatever it might be. This is a little bit more of, as you're going for your coffee break, could you scale a wall quickly and then go back to work? And it does, you know, any little bit, even a skipping rope or something like that will help. Just a few minutes on something will help. I think they can look really, really nice. And if you really want to engage your muscles and get a bit of an active, you know, muscle building workout, climbing
up
is amazing.
Your kitchen wall.
Yeah. Now, they can look a bit grim, right? Some of them are really coloury and again, kind of kids gym looking, which is fine if you're into that. But there's a lovely set available from Bergfrund, Bergfrunde. I've bought a lot of ski stuff from there in the past, .eu. It's called the Metolius Wood Grips. And they're 270 for a pack of 25.
25?
Look really nice. You could install it outside if you wanted. Maybe on the side of like an outhouse, something like that. I think they look really nice.
Now, installation would not be for the faint-hearted. Make sure you have somebody who has found out where the joists are on your house and put these in. Right, a climbing wall in your home. We will leave it there, Jenny Sheehan. Thank you very much. You can find all of Jenny's suggestions and everything about her on Workers Cottage, at Workers Cottage. That's our Instagram handle. And she does everything there from cake decorating to, well, I don't know, climbing walls maybe. Jenny, thanks a million for coming into us on the show again this week. And that's all we have time for this latest episode of the Home Show podcast. I've enjoyed your company. I hope you've enjoyed the items we've had on this time. If there's anything you missed or you'd like to listen back to other pods, well, they're all up on newstalk.com, on the Newstalk app powered by Go Loud, or wherever you get your podcasts from. Thanks to producer Aoife Breen. Stephen McLoone was on sound. Stay tuned next week for our next episode. And in the meantime, of course, you can check back any other apps you have missed. It's been lovely having your company this week, and I look forward to having you listen next time.
The Home Show with Sinead Ryan, Saturday morning at 8 on News Talk.